we repeat a little bit from last time. That should be 1935. It's during the retreat, it seems in the retreat. After Holy Communion, I saw the Lord Jesus, who said these words to me. Today, penetrate into the spirit of my poverty and arrange everything in such a way that the most destitute will have no reason to envy you. I find pleasure not in large buildings and magnificent structures, but in pure and humble hearts. So we are all qualified. We don't have big house, we don't have many things. Nobody envy you because you have a LB bag and, you know, simple. When I was by myself, I began to reflect on the spirit of poverty. I clearly saw that Jesus, although he is Lord of all things, possessed nothing. From a borrowed manger, he went through life doing good to all, but himself having no place to lay his head. And on the cross, I see the summit of his poverty, for he does not have even a garment on himself. O Jesus, through a solemn vow of poverty, I decide to become like you. Poverty will be my mother. As exteriorly, we should possess nothing and have nothing to dispose of as our own. So interiorly, we should design nothing. And in the most blessed sacrament, how great is your poverty? Has there ever been a soul as abandoned as you were on the cross, Jesus? Chastity. There's no need to explain that this vow forbids all those things prohibited by the sixth and ninth commandments. Deeds, thoughts, words, feelings. Understand that a solemn vow differs from a simple vow. I understand this in all its implications. While reflecting upon this, I heard these words in my soul. You are my spouse forever. Your chastity should be greater than that of the angels. For I call no angel to such intimacy as I do you. The smallest act of my spouse is of infinite value. A pure soul has inconceivable power before God. It's pure. Nothing against God's will. Obedience. I've come to do my Father's will. I obeyed my parents. I obeyed my formators. And now I obey the priests. I understand, O Jesus, the spirit of obedience and what it consists. It concludes not only external performance, but also the reason, the will, and judgment. Obeying our superiors, we obey God. It makes no difference whether it is an angel or a man who, acting in God's stead, gives me order. I must always obey. I'm not going to write much about vows. They are clear and specific. I'd rather put down a few general thoughts about this congregation. You know mine, this new congregation. There will never be any splendid houses, but only a small church of a small community consisting of a few souls, not more than 10, plus two externs to look after the external affairs. And these two sisters will not wear the habit, but secular dress. They will take simple vows, and they will depend strictly on the superior who will be cloistered. They will share in all the spiritual benefits of the congregation. There must never be more than two and preferably only one. Each house will be independent of the others, although they will be closely united by the rule, the vows, and the spirit. In exceptional cases, however, a sister from one community may be transferred to another, and also if there is question of founding a new house, some sisters may be transferred, if needed be, from another house. Each house will depend on local ordinary. It's not like the Carmelite sisters, no? They are the same, they are all independent, and all the interns, externs, they are one or two sisters, but they dress as the same as inside one, but it's different. Each sister will have a separate cell, but life will be communal as regards prayer, meals, and recreation. Each nun, after a profession, will no longer see the world, even through a grill, as they will be covered with a dark cloth. In the past, also the Carmelite sisters, also they have a dark cloth cover. In the Philippines, the same? Or you can see the face, then?
No.
With a grill?
Yes.
In Hong Kong, the same, the grill. But in Toronto, it's more open, no grill. Yeah, we can see face to face. Yes. Updating. Upgraded. And even the conversations will be strictly limited. Silence. The whole day. She will be as if dead, not understood by the world and not understanding the world. She is to stand between heaven and earth, begging God constantly for mercy on the world, and that priests be empowered so that their words be not empty, and that they, in the extraordinary dignity and so exposed to risks, may keep themselves completely stainless. Though these souls will not be numerous, they will be heroic souls. There will be no room for cowardly or effeminate souls. There will be no distinction between the sisters, no mothers, no reference, no venerables, but all will be equal, even though there might be great differences in their parentage. We know who Jesus was, and yet how he humbled himself, and with whom he associated. The habit will be night that worn by Jesus during his passion, and they will not simply wear the robe. They must also seal themselves with the mask her bore, suffering and scorn. Each one will strive for the greatest self-denial and have a love of humility, and she who will distinguish herself most in this later virtue will be the one who is capable of leading the others. If you want the superior, you know, one, the most humble, the most poor, nothing, dead. How you imagine you die, the world is silence. Left this silence, come dead silence in our soul. Although we are not religious, but we should live the spirit. Silence. As God has made us sharers in his mercy, and even more than that, dispensers of that mercy, we should therefore have great love for each soul, beginning with the elect and ending with the soul that does not yet know God. By prayer and mortifications, we will make our way to the most uncivilized countries, paving the way for the missionaries. You will bear in mind that a soldier on the front line cannot hold out long without support from the rear forces that do not actually take part in the fighting but provide for all his needs. And that such is the rule of prayer. And that therefore each one of us is to be distinguished by an apostolic spirit. So although the spirit is internal, but, you know, helping the missionaries in the mission. You consider yourself a missionary or consider yourself a hermit? Missionary. You should be both. As a hermit in your soul, as apostle outward, because you have to confront the world. You have to live for the world, for Jesus. You think, of course, originally you come for kind of assistance, financial assistance for your family. But perhaps it's also a sign that you are sent here, not only just someone to work. It's apostle. Paul worked, even though he worked, he visited all the places, he always earned his living. He's a tent maker. Whenever he's time, he do his business to earn his own life. He's not dependent. It's always heart is for Jesus. So you learn to have this spirit of apostle, apostolic zeal. In the evening, when I was writing, I heard a voice in my cell which said, "Do not leave this congregation. Have mercy upon yourself. Such great sufferings are in store for you." Now, this is another voice. Huh? When I looked in the direction of the voice, I saw nothing, and I continued to write. Suddenly, I heard a voice, a noise, and the words, "When you leave, we will destroy you. Do not torture us." I glanced around and saw many ugly monsters. So I mentally made the sign of the cross and it disappeared immediately. How terribly ugly Satan is. The poor damned souls have had that have to keep him company. Just the sight of him is more disgusting than all the torments of hell. A short time later, I heard this voice in my soul. "Do not fear anything. Nothing will happen to you against my will." So at times you could have this temptation. What's more important to do the will of God? Attach the will of God. First, make the sign of the cross. Keep the evil spirit away. Postulancy, age of admission, any person between the age of 15 and 30. Firstly, the spirit with which the candidate is imbued and her character are to be taken into consideration, whether she has a strong will and the courage to follow Jesus' footsteps with joy and gladness, as God loves a cheerful giver. She must despise the world and herself. The lack of a glory will never be an obstacle to a mission. All formalities concerning the candidates must be clear. No complicated cases should be omitted. Melancholy persons, those disposed to sadness, those suffering from contagious diseases, those of an unstable character, and those who are inclined to be suspicious of others are not adaptable to the religious life and must not be omitted. If you are always doubtful, always thinking the other people is doing wrong to you, how can you leave the community? You think you're free. You're always thinking they are thinking wrong about you, and then always feeling bad feeling about you can survive. In the world, there are some people in this way, even your boss or even your anybody, somebody have this kind of character. Even you do all the things that they are thinking you're stealing things. Crazy. But it's the world. Members should be selected with greatest care, as one ill-fitted member is enough to throw the whole commons into confusion. The duration of the postulancy. The postulancy will last 1 year. During this time, the candidate should examine whether she is attracted to this type of life and whether it is suitable for her. The directress should also diligently consider whether or not the person in question is suitable for this type of life. After a year, if the person shows evidence of a stable will and an earnest desire to serve God, she should be admitted to the novitiate. The novitiate is to last 1 year without any interruption. At this point, the novice should be taught about the virtues relating to the vows and about the importance of vows. The directress should do her utmost to provide a solid formation. Let her train the novices in the practice of humility, because only a humble heart keeps the vows easily and experiences the great joys that God pours out upon the faithful soul. The novices should not be burdened with duties that entail responsibilities, so that they may be free to devote themselves to their own perfection. They are obliged to observe the rules and statutes strictly, as are the postulants. After a year of novitiate, if the novice proves faithful, she may be admitted to make her profession for 1 year. This is to be repeated for 3 years. She may then be given duties of responsibility. However, she will still belong to the novitiate, and once a week she must attend conferences together with the novices, and she will spend the last 6 months entirely in the novitiate in order to prepare well for a solemn profession. Meals. How we eat meals. We will have no meat. Abstain from meat. Our meal shall be such that even the poor will have no reason to envy us. Still, feast day may differ slightly from regular days. The sisters will eat 3 times a day. Fast, especially the 2 great ones, will be observed strictly according to the original spirit. The food should be the same for all the nuns without exception, so that communal life may be kept pure. This refers not only to food, but to clothing and the furnishing of cells as well. However, if a sister should fall ill, she should receive every consideration. Prayers. 1 hour of meditation, Holy Mass and Holy Communion, prayers, 2 examinations of conscience, office, rosary, spiritual reading, 1 hour of prayer during the night. As to the honorio, it is better to draw it up after we have begun to live this type of life. Suddenly, I heard these words in my soul. My daughter, I assure you of a permanent income on which you will live. Your duty will be to trust completely in my goodness, and my duty will be to give you all you need. I'm making myself dependent upon your trust. If your trust is great, then my generosity will be without limit. So this trust on providence, we can see the sister of the missionaries of charity, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. They have all the providence. I think they are the most richest congregation in the world. But still today, they're not using any washing machine in the convent. They eat the same as the poor. The house, although they have a special, it's best in another house, but they're as poor as the poor. They have nothing. I think Mother Teresa, the congregation, you know some of them, no? I mean, you should have contacted them. I think they give us the kind of spirit. Of course, we are not called for this type of life, but spiritually, we have to. That's good. It's time now. We are no.